The following story is from my new podcast called Radio Rental. For the past year, I've been traveling the country interviewing dozens of people, exploring bizarre true crime stories and people's firsthand experiences. My new podcast called Radio Rental is a collection of real-life stories that are just plain terrifying. All real, all told by the real people. If you like what you hear, do me a favor and search Radio Rental on your podcast app and click subscribe. There's new episodes of Radio Rental all month.
It was fall of 2006. I was a student at ASU. I had just moved into an apartment. It was a crap apartment. Tweakers, stuff like that. We were college kids. Bottom floor, the head of my bed was right up against the window. We looked out into this courtyard area. I used to sleep with my window cracked a little bit. One morning, I remember it was a school day. It was like 4:45 in the morning. It wasn't pitch black, but it certainly wasn't bright. It was just dawn. I don't remember if I was dreaming. I just remember being woken up by this sound. It was just like this. It was. And then it would pause. It was organized, like there was bump, 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 and then it would pause. I thought it might be a bird or a branch or something random, but there was just something intentional about it. There was definitely something tapping. I just didn't know what the source of it was. It sounded like human tapping. And I kind of let it go on a little bit. My boyfriend at the time used to pull these pranks on me to scare me, you know? So I thought it might be him. So I'm like, I am definitely gonna make him wait. This is ridiculous. Like, I am not gonna go let him in, you know, after he's done this awful thing of waking me up. Like, how dare he? So I laid in bed, like, I'm gonna show him. And it just kept going, like the tapping. Finally, I get up to get a glass of water, because now I'm up. This jackass has woken me up. As I'm coming back to my bed, there's those horizontal blinds that you see in crappy apartments. There's a sliver that I can see, and I see something move. There is a person out there. It is not a bird. And it seemed just a little sinister. Like it was trying to peek in between the sliver. So I'm like, okay, jig is up. I'm gonna go yell at my boyfriend. So that's when I marched over. I was sure it was gonna be my boyfriend because who else would be doing this? So I whip open the blinds angrily. I open them from the bottom up. And I see a man who is not my boyfriend. You know how umpires, they're crouched down to look at the ball? He was crouched down, hands on his knees. So I couldn't really tell how tall he was. He was wearing a dark purple shirt. He had on a Nike hat. He had on black pants, black hat. He was also wearing gloves. He was wearing black gloves. An August in Phoenix, okay? That's sinister. There was an energy behind his eyes. And I know this sounds really dramatic, but I don't know how else to describe the feeling, and it made me recoil. There was something very wrong with them. They looked like black orbs. The only thing I've ever seen that compares is photos of Ted Bundy or Charles Manson. I was so angry at this point that this idiot had woken me up. And it was between a yell and just talking loudly. I said, what the fuck? I was so mad. He seemed taken aback when I kind of cuss at him, and then he whispers to me, can I talk to you? Like that. Can I talk to you? And it was really, really scary. It gave me this really weird, like, feeling in my stomach. This is not right. His eyes just felt so vibrant with malignant energy. I know that sounds so dramatic, but there is nothing, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It was really close. Like, I could have reached my hand out and slightly leaned forward and touched his face. I remember I called him a douchebag. I don't know why I remember that. And then I said, get the fuck out of here. We both had a major reaction to each other. He was freaked out that I was speaking loudly. I was freaked out that this idiot with evil eyes had woken me up. It was such a bizarre request. I remember very specifically when he said that, I had recently read this book about Ted Bundy called The Stranger Beside Me. It's one of those true crime books that everyone reads. And it was like a nanosecond flash in my mind, but I remember he used to pretend like he had a broken arm. He would try to get women to help him. And there was a quote in the book that said, it's not socially appropriate to ask young women for help. And so something flashed in my head. This is not right for him, even if he's in trouble, to be asking for help like this. Like, why wouldn't you be yelling if you needed help? If he wants to talk to me, he needs help, right?
Can I talk to you?
It just seemed like bullshit. If there's something important here that I need to help him with or something, that wouldn't be how he is. And so I just kind of thought he was bothering me or something. Like, he was crouched down and then he whispers to me. That was incredibly creepy. It was blood-curdling. It was wrong. There's something really wrong about this situation.
Can I talk to you?
And so I just had this overwhelming instinct to get away from this person. He kind of looked taken aback, like he wasn't expecting me to be so hostile or something. His body moved backwards in a surprised way. I said, hell no, douchebag. Get the fuck out of here. Lock the window and shut the blinds. I remember I was really just bothered by the whole thing. My roommate, I told her what happened as soon as she got up. She said, do you think this might have been the Baseline Killer?
We're talking about Mark Goodeau, dubbed the Baseline Killer for a series of rapes and murders in 2005 and 2006.
As soon as she said it, my heart just completely sank.
Police called this case the Baseline Killings because the first crimes occurred near Baseline Road in Phoenix.
I mean, we lived literally a block off Baseline. I mean, we were within walking distance of the actual Baseline Road.
His crime spree, starting in the summer of 2005, terrorized the Phoenix metro area. The crimes, particularly brutal. The victims, random, and as young as 12 years old.
There was a police sketch that was everywhere. I started to freak out.
A sketch of the suspect based on descriptions from surviving victims blanketed the valley.
I didn't know if he had been stalking me. I didn't know, you know, if he had just seen the open window and just thought to kind of see who was behind there. I didn't know if he knew it was my apartment. My parents freaked out. I didn't know if this idiot is gonna come back. How crazy is this person? We got an alarm, we got pepper spray. I mean, we were kind of like, we want out of our lease. I went on the tip line for the Phoenix PD and I finally got in touch with the lead detective. He was super nice, super cool. And I explained everything. A lot of things were lining up. He said that lines up with his modus operandi. There was another woman, he went up to her car and said, I just robbed a bank, I need a ride. And so he would kind of ask you things to throw you off and kind of get you flustered, and then he would blitz.
Can I talk to you?
I think that's what he was gonna do. The guy wasn't trying to disguise it. Like, that's the thing that horror movies get wrong. You know what I mean? He wasn't trying to make it sound like something else. He wanted my attention.
Can I talk to you?
He was very adept at eluding capture. He was a master of disguise. He wore condoms when he would assault people. He wore gloves. I mean, this dude was practiced. Like, he knew what he was doing. 2-3 weeks later, I get a text. I'm in one of my college classes. This was before pictures on cell phones, so I had a flip phone, you know? My roommate said they caught him. They caught the baseline killer. You need to go look at his picture. And so I ran to the computer lab. I looked it up. 100% it was the guy. Mark Goodeau is his name. That is the guy, 100%.
Prosecutors say 46-year-old Mark Goodeau terrorized the Phoenix, Arizona area for 14 months in a frightening crime spree that happened 6 years ago. Police say he killed 9 people and committed dozens of other crimes, including rape and child molestation.
I mean, what is the worst thing that could probably happen? You know what I'm saying? If a serial killer is literally tapping on your window, and that happened.
Can I talk to you?
And it didn't really hit me for a while, the significance of it, I don't think. His name is Mark Goodeau. He's on death row in Arizona. He was a rapist and a murderer. He hurt a lot of people, you know, and it was just really... it was really awful. He was a really evil, terrible person.
The Baseline Killer. An active serial killer who terrorized the streets of Phoenix in the early 2000s. Between 2005 and 2006, he murdered 9 people and sexually assaulted 15 women, some children. For a year, the Baseline Killer had eluded police, leaving behind very little evidence at the crime scenes. His killing spree became a national news story. On September 4th, 2006, Mark Goodeau was apprehended. He was found guilty of the murders and is currently on death row. That man outside her window was not her boyfriend.
There was a moment about a week after he was caught that I just felt this really profound sense of gratitude. Life is so fragile, and this all could have been snuffed out, you know? So make it count. There's a lot of feelings about it, I think. I mean, there's a feeling of anger. To think that my life and all of the wonderful things that I've been able to experience, someone could just snuff all of that out to get a momentary thrill. It just seems, the gravity of it doesn't seem proportional. And so there's something incredibly unjust about that. In a cosmic sense, it's angering. You know, and so that's something I think about a lot. I think about it a lot still, actually. I want to make sure that my life isn't for nothing, you know, because I survived this. And so it's like, I want to be helpful, and I don't want to just survive something like that and then do nothing good with my life. I think that I'm lucky because I got to confirm that my instinct was correct. Because most times when we get that vibe about someone, we never get validation either way. I think that that's been the most powerful thing for me, is that like I trusted myself and it saved me for certain. So if you have that feeling about anyone, really trust it. You know, if you have that vibe, don't override it. If I hadn't been annoyed, you know, if I hadn't been primed to be irritated, if I'd been like, oh, what do you want to talk to me about? You know, are you okay? Something like that. Who knows? But instead, I was emotionally prepared to yell at someone, and it turned out to be a serial killer, not my boyfriend. I probably would have been meaner to my boyfriend, but... Predatory people are good at overriding those instincts. Don't let them do it. Just trust yourself. Tell him to fuck off.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. This is a clip from my new podcast called Radio Rental, and it's available right now. So if you like it, just pull out your phone and search Radio Rental on your podcast app, and then click subscribe. There's new episodes of Radio Rental all month, and it's available right now.